Lieutenant. Okay, this might be really bad. Clint hung out with quite a lot of Avengers, actually. Mostly the girls, come to think of it. Mockingbird, Spider-Woman, the Black Widow. Tony Stark had come to visit once. Clint kind of liked Logan from a distance. And he got along well with Spider-Man, whoever the kid was. But Bruce Banner was something else altogether. He wasn't a regular. He was heavy artillery, and people only took him out for special occasions, like China wedding plates. In between, he was just off the grid. Nobody knew where. The Avengers' only regular guy had never thought he would hook up with the Hulk, of all people. But here it was. Bruce was officially the first of them to have ever crashed on Clint Barton's couch. Save for Kate Bishop, but she was one of the young Avengers, so maybe it didn't count, and Clint was rambling again to avoid thinking about Banner. The Hulk. On his couch. Clint was prepared for the crossing of yet another valley of awkwardness in the morning, but as it turned out, Bruce wasn't even up. He slept the heavy sleep of the dead on the plump cushions, so deeply buried under the covers that all his host could see of him was a mop of unruly hair. Lucky was curled up on his feet at the other end of the couch. The silver, cold light of nascent winter was washing through the windows. Clint liked getting up early to catch the worm, ha-ha. Bruce kinda looked like a caterpillar in those wrapped blankets, though. Clint tiptoed across the living room and went into the kitchen. He left the door open and proceeded to make coffee. Sure enough, Bruce emerged from his cocoon a few minutes later. He sat up and stifled a yawn, squinting and completely disheveled, and wearing a t-shirt too big for him, and no one could have guessed that the Hulk was lurking inside this human puppy. Lucky certainly seemed to think they were kin. "I hope the dog doesn't bother you," Clint said. Bruce looked like he had just spoken Chinese. "Coffee?" That rang a bell. The scientist painfully extracted himself from the heap of covers, staggered across the room, and muffled another deep yawn as he sat at the table. He closed his hands around the cup and inhaled for a good 10 seconds before opening his eyes with the most baffled and distressed look Clint had ever seen. "Oh," he said very softly. "What?" Clint asked, alarmed. Bruce glanced up at him with lost eyes. "I don't drink coffee." Clint blinked. "Oh," he echoed, stupidly. The scientist looked completely puzzled now, like he couldn't even believe it. An incidental teammate forgetting about a detail like this was one thing. But him? Clint wondered how it was like, sometimes forgetting you were the Hulk and then waking up and... He swallowed a lump in his throat. Yeah, he preferred not to think about it, actually. "I'm sorry," Bruce stammered, with that same astounded, miserable look. "Hey, don't sweat it," Clint hurried to say. "More for me. You want tea or something?" The doctor locked eyes with him like he was a lifeline. His wryness and reserve had vanished with just a few hours of real sleep and a few minutes of confusion. How much time had it been since someone had seen him like this, with his guard down?
"Yes," he said in a cracked voice. "Tea."
"Thanks." "Okay." There was that long, awkward silence Clint had expected. Banner stared at the dancing lights in his cup for a good 15 minutes of quietness. Clint just kept his mouth busy with coffee and toast. "I can't find a place," Bruce said softly. Clint froze as though he was a hunter with a deer in his line of sight. "Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't exist too loud." "After I left Stark Tower, I tried once or twice," the scientist mumbled. "But it's just... so much paperwork, and it wears me out. I don't have the strength, the will. I don't know." Clint looked at him, but Banner wouldn't meet his eyes now. The archer had a feeling this was the first private thing the scientist had gotten out of his system in months.
He could have told Bruce about his years in the circus then, how his brother in Duquesne had betrayed him and beaten him up and left him for dead, and how S.H.I.E.L.D. had found him and hired him somewhat by force since he was too young to realize at the time. How he had refused for years to take an apartment besides his quarters at the helicarrier, because everything that didn't move, that pretended not to change, was a lie. Everything crumbled eventually. Homes, families, friendship, and there was no point in building any of it when everything could just be taken away from you at any time. He could have told Bruce all of that. Instead he said, "The apartment just below mine. It's empty." Bruce looked up with owlish eyes. "What?" "Old Tyler used to live there, but he moved out like a week ago. So it's empty. He left most of his stuff, though, furniture and all." He took a sip of coffee. "You just have to get the water and electricity running." The doctor just stared at him with round eyes. Then he snapped out of it and mumbled, That's not safe. I didn't mean water and electricity together. Everyone knows that. Two Avengers in the same building. It's not safe. And I'm not safe. Yeah, Barton, what the hell are you doing? Listen to the guy. You don't want me here, Clint. You don't... Hey, stop freaking out. It's your call, man. I'm just... offering, Bruce said in a sour voice. His eyes were screaming with distrust now. He lowered them with some sort of stubbornness and clenched his hands around the cup, pressing his lips in a tight line. Of course it looked suspicious. Hell, it would have looked suspicious even to a regular guy. Why couldn't Clint stop playing fairy godmother for like 2 minutes? He sighed and started rambling, because of course he never knew when to stop. Look, just because you haven't been given things in a while, it doesn't mean that it's always a trap or stuff. He took a deep breath. I was kind of a dick to you last time, okay? And I did the very opposite of helping you, so... That explains the new jacket and the new laptop. Then I happen to have stupidly bought this building, and it happens to have an empty apartment in it, and... And that's all. That's it, really. Bruce looked up, still inching back slightly like a cornered wolf, but listening. I'm not giving it away, you know, Clint went on. There'll be rent and shit. I can just make it easier for you to deal with. I'm kind of a cool landlord. Who's got a place to rent. And if you don't want it, that's fine. That's just fine. That's what offering means. Banner stayed silent for a long time. Are you serious? He said eventually. Are you seriously renting me a place in freaking Brooklyn? Hey, Brooklyn's the best part of New York. Why? Well, there's kind of this cool... Why would you do this? Bruce developed irritably. Clint gave a half shrug. Because I need a tenant? Bruce shook his head, his stubborn expression back, like he had only remembered now the reason he couldn't drink coffee. No. No, I can't put the others at risk. There are people out in the streets too, you know. I can't stay in the same place for too long. Banner, you're probably the only hero people recognize less than me. Nobody knows your face except for the guys actually looking for you. And in their case, whether you're on the move or not doesn't make a difference. The scientist bit his lip. But if... Hey, this is not another symposium debate, Clint cut off. Do you want the place or not? Bruce looked at him for yet another good minute. He seemed really shaken somehow. Clint understood that for all his reticence, Banner wanted desperately to say yes. He was only arguing against himself here, just like Clint encouraging the doctor to stay when actually all he wanted was for them to shake hands and part for good. But the truth was, anybody else with that many reasons not to do the thing would have walked out the door already. The scientist glanced down at Lucky under the table, like he was looking for inspiration. Clint briefly wondered if that was the real reason he had offered Tyler's apartment to Bruce, because collecting stray dogs was his unspoken hobby. The doctor looked like the same thoughts were crossing his mind now. Eventually he said, soft and slow, "How much's the rent?" So there. After the very daring Bruce Banner on the couch, here came the grim sequel with a very likely horrible ending, and it was called Bruce Banner is My Neighbor. Kind of catchy. Maybe selling the rights could buy Clint and his tenants an obituary in the New York Times, since their inheritance would be spent entirely in radiation cleaning after their messy deaths in the undoubtedly imminent collapse of their building. Man, did this look bad.
Clint's decision had been so stupid, though, and sudden and unrealistic and overall laughable, that by the end of the day, he had actually convinced himself that Banner had actually gotten the hell out of the building, and maybe out of New York in a hole, or even of the state, if not the country, and that Tyler's place would remain empty for at least another week. Which is why it was kind of a shock to him when he went on the rooftop that evening for the ritual barbecue, only to discover a very puzzled and seemingly terrified Bruce Banner talking with Amy, the pink-haired goth girl from the fifth floor, like he had no idea how he had ended up here. Other tenants were chatting quietly around the place, waiting for Grills, the barbecue guy, to live up to his nickname. "Clint!" the pink-haired girl greeted him. "Come meet the new guy." "I kind of already did, Amy." Clint grinned. "Hey, Bruce." "Oh, that's right, Mr. Landlord." "Wait, Bruce? That's David." The spy didn't miss a beat. "I know, but I call him by his second name. Kind of an inside joke." "Oh, okay," Amy said, already not listening anymore. "Over here, I think the hot dogs are ready. Grills?" Bruce exhaled silently after she left. Clint came closer with a small grin, and the doctor shot him a look. "It's not funny. She just grabbed me and dragged me up here. It's the middle of November." "Hot dogs, Bruce. Don't you like hot dogs?" You could have told me you were doing a remake of Friends in your building. I would have said no. Pretty sure Friends didn't feature rooftop barbecues. The doctor rubbed his temple, and Clint probably should have been scared, but his smile only widened. Hey, he suddenly said, you're wearing it. Bruce blinked, then glanced down at his leather jacket. Oh, yes, it's very warm. The doctor looked really good in it. Too small for Clint, the jacket fit his leaner body perfectly and gave him this sort of cool aviator look. In the dark, the tiredness of his face showed a little less, too. How's the apartment? Clint asked. Bruce stifled a small laugh. Yeah, of course, asking this of a man who had lived on the street for several months. That was kind of stupid, but still. It's nice, the doctor said, with a tentative but genuine smile. It's really nice. Thanks. A hot dog had somehow found its way into Clint's hands, and he was going for a bite when something pulled at the leg of his jeans. He looked down and frowned. Aw, Lucky, how did you get up here? It's too cold. Your dog has cannibal cravings today, Simone laughed. She lived three doors down and was rarely seen, mainly because of her numerous kids. Here, sweetie. She fed him a sausage he ate in two bites. Seriously, pizza dog? Hey, David, she called. Hot dog? Yes, please, Bruce said hurriedly. Because he was starving or because he was so on edge, Clint didn't know. Probably both. Thank you, Mrs. Just Simone, she said. There you go. Banner stayed there looking down at his hot dog like it was a mysterious creature from outer space or something. Clint knew he should have been reasonable and told the doctor that he had been delirious earlier and that it would be for the best if he left soon and never came back. But Banner had accepted. Clint couldn't decently hope for him to change his mind now, and Clint might still have a concussion because standing there, he didn't feel nearly so worried as he should be. Instead, something inside him clenched at the way the doctor kept studying his food, like he was trying to understand how he had gotten here. How was this his life, and how he was supposed to act in a whole? Him and Clint both. Hey, Amy called out, leaning over the edge as she wrapped a strand of pink hair around her finger. You know there's guys down front with bats, right? What? Clint mumbled, stepping closer to see. It was starting to snow. The street down there was gray and blue. Clashing horribly in those soft tones were four guys in red and gold tracksuits. With bats indeed. Hey, bro, Clint heard distantly. Hell no. Those guys, they could beat him up and throw his dog into traffic and try their hand at engraving on his back. Fine, but they did not get to hang out around his building and freak everyone else out. He stepped away from the edge and strode toward the door. Clint? It's okay, Simone, he said. Enjoy your hot dog. Back in a sec. Clint felt Banner's gaze on him and held it in earnest. You too, David. Don't meddle. The scientist said nothing for a second, then nodded. Clint almost tumbled one floor down, grabbed his bow on the way, and hurtled down the stairs. He really ought to fix that elevator. But who fixed elevators? How was he supposed to find out? Hey! He called out as he walked out the front door. His arrow ripped the bat from the hands of one of the mobsters. Get the hell away from my building. The guy just grinned. Stupid bro. No, you're stupid bro. The screeching of tires cut off his inspired retort. Two vans had just appeared on each side of the street, and dozens and dozens and dozens of guys with bats and ugly tracksuits were coming out, as though there were photocopiers inside going crazy. Oh, this looks... Clint shot an arrow that got lost somewhere in the red and gold crowd, and then they were on him and everything became very confused. There were fists and bats crashing on his jaw and back and shoulders, and he was hitting back, fighting dirty like he always fought. He wasn't Captain America and he wasn't the Black Widow either, and this looked... He was a fucking archer, and for an archer, he didn't get to do that much archery. Where was his bow now? Someone had ripped it away from his hands. He knew how to fight, but lots of people do, so maybe it was not his fault the snowflakes were melting into darkness, and he was falling to his knees and everything was closing in on him. The buildings, the bats, and the pounding walls of his own mind. This looked... Clint woke up tied down in a chair under a harsh spotlight. His eyes were always better than people gave him credit for, no matter how much credit was actually given, and he could make out maybe 100 silhouettes in the darkness around him. Bad. The word he had been looking for earlier. This looked bad. Clint glanced around. It looked like an abandoned warehouse with chains hanging from the ceiling, broken windows, the whole package. How many warehouses were there in Brooklyn? Seriously, what with how often the villain of the week had been found hidden in one of these, the cops were only one or two judicious roundups from eradicating crime in New York. Clint should give them a tip. If he ever walked out of here, that is. Bro, a voice said in the dark. You make a lot of big bad people real mad, bro. You steal our building. Okay, there was the exit, behind the 5,000 vampires. Clint thought he had seen someone hiding in the shadows. Even more guys? Is one thing to fuck with us. Is another thing to fuck with the guys we work for. Clint wasn't listening. He had trouble seeing all of a sudden. Banner. Fuck. He was absolutely sure it was him. The scientist had ignored his warning once already. And now, Clint was in even bigger trouble. If Bruce showed up here, though, he didn't know mobsters like Clint did. There were rituals. There were rules. Right now, Clint was being monologued at, and by the sound of it, he would be released with an ultimatum. He would be fined, a few bruises, maybe some cracked ribs. If Bruce came out of the shadows, if he interrupted the litany of threats in bad English, if he gave 100 threatening guys something to actually shoot at... Oh God. They want us to tell you, they done with you, bro. You go away now. You fuck off. See? Clint thought desperately. They're not going to kill me. They're just barking at me. Don't fuck up, Banner. Stay hidden. Stay safe. Or is war, bro. 24 hours, bro. The silhouette moved into sight, and Clint took a sudden breath. It wasn't Banner. The tracksuit slipped in the warehouse like a kid late for class and mingled with the threatening crowd. Clint lost sight of him in seconds. He could only gape at the mass of shadows circling around him. There was nothing to be seen anymore, just those silhouettes like trees in a dark forest. The other guy was finishing his tirade. You gone, or we killing everybody in your building, bro. A bag came over Clint's head, and it all went even darker. The archer without a bow was thrown into a freezing slosh a few steps away from his building. He stayed down for a minute, wincing as pain bloomed all over his body until he was just one giant ache on all fours in the snow. He hoisted himself up like an old man and saw it. His bow, right where those bastards had thrown it. He picked it up reverently, took off the drenched bowstring, then pushed the main door and walked inside. He couldn't help smiling at the flight of stairs. Really ought to fix this elevator. He took a deep breath, then gripped the banister and began climbing, heavily, painfully, one step at a time. He stopped at each floor and sometimes in between to catch his breath. Then he resumed his walk of pain. One step, two steps. Hey! He looked up. Banner was standing just behind the threshold of Tyler's apartment, like he wasn't sure he was allowed in the stairwell. Clint wasn't sure he was. He wasn't sure what to think about the scientist right now. He just wanted a hot shower. Bruce's gaze trailed across his swollen face and black eye. Are you going to let me have a look at you this time? He asked softly. Clint quirked a smile and shook his head. Nah, I've got wagons of band-aids up there. But thanks. What was he thanking him for? Thanks for not coming to the rescue? But Clint had told him not to come. And Banner would have made it all worse. He looked intent on not causing any problems. He looked intent on listening to any stupid shit Clint said. Good. Just fine. He had a lot more on his plate anyway. First of all, this goddamn last flight of stairs. And second of all, gone in 24 hours or we killing everybody, bro. Yeah. Good night, Doc. Good night, Bruce murmured, but he stayed there and watched him make his painful way up to the top floor, his open door the only source of light in the darkened stairwell.